Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Welcome everyone to another brilliant sport and lifestyle biz here on UK Health Radio, your real feel-good radio. This week, we've got an absolute pearler for you. We have got Steve Hill, MBE, all about how he teaches his classes, how he goes on his extreme challenges where he raises money for several charities, including Team Hill Charitable Trust, his own charity, and they also build classrooms for underprivileged families in Africa. It's a great interview, one not to be missed. It's Steve Hill, MBE. You'll never stop this, but I will never let you go. Well, who am I to say? Maybe by now you should know. You got your somebody calling, you think you're somebody, don't you? I think you're scared of keeping somebody close. Well, ladies and gentlemen, back today with the interview I know you've all been waiting for. It went off the charts first time round. Sadly, it was almost a year ago now. I'm joined by our good friend, Steve Hill, MBE. Hi, Steve.
Hi, John. How are you?
Well, thank you. So pleased to be chatting to you again. It's been an interview we've been trying to set up for a while, but you've been a very busy man. As I said, it was about a year ago now that we spoke. You'd just come back from running across Iceland, actually. I think it was 9 marathons in 9 days, which is extraordinary. Tell us what's happened to you over the last year, all the exciting things that you've done and also that you've accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe it's nearly 12 months since we last spoke. But yeah, I just got back from running across Iceland at the end of August, which was a fantastic adventure. And I was ready for starting a new school year, I think. It would have been September. So yeah, it was pretty much back to school, new class. Sharing the adventure in Iceland with them, obviously, which they loved, you know, talking about volcanoes and, you know, how tough the challenge had been, but obviously about, you know, resilience and keeping going and achieving your goals. And not long after that, I was down in London. I did the London Marathon in October, which had been postponed for 2 years through lockdown. So that was great, great fun. Nothing on the level of running across Iceland, but as I say, it's always great to do these events. And then, like you say, just a great year of teaching. At Easter time, I went up to Nordart in the Scottish Highlands to take part in the Scottish Highland Ultra, which was 3 marathons, 3 days, camping in the mountains, running across the Munros, which was a lot of ascent, so it was a real good, tough one over Easter, but a beautiful part of the world. And then back to Uganda for the first time in 3 years. At the end of May, I went to take part in the Uganda Marathon again. That'll be my fifth time of doing it. But it was great to get back to Uganda, seeing some old friends, if you like, and some of the projects that we've been supporting throughout lockdown through Team Hill Charitable Trust. So it was great to see the fruits of our fundraising, if you like. We visited school, medical facilities and so forth. And yeah, just great to touch base with people and obviously take part in that marathon for the fifth time. So that was that. Big news was I've obviously launched my book as well, which has been my lockdown project over the past 2 years. I've been writing the book, not getting out any challenges because of lockdown. So yeah, that was my challenge. Chopping my way through sentences and paragraphs and chapters rather than through jungles. And the fruits of that labour came to the fore. And yeah, a book was launched in June. So that's out there now and getting some rave reviews, which is fantastic. So yeah, all exciting. And the end of another school year, obviously, as well. It's always, you know, always quite sad to say goodbye to the kids. Having had a great year with them. So yeah, a bit of a rest, recharge the batteries and go again in September.
Well, Steve, it sounds amazing, and I'm sure I could do 4 or 5 shows on what you've done just in the last year, let alone what you've done in the past if we went into sort of in-depth details. You know, just to remind the listener, you've been across the Antarctic with huskies, you've done ultra marathon through the Borneo jungle where you had no assistance, you had to fix your own trainers, you know, you swam across rivers, you didn't know what was in them. You've done so much, and the book, the MBE, are just two small recognitions of what you fully deserve. You're an amazing person to speak to. You inspire everybody. And I know you're very humble, so you'd rather I said it than, you know, recognise that yourself. A couple of things I was going to pick out of what you just said was you went down and done the London Marathon. And interestingly, yep. You said it's nothing compared to what you have done. Yet a lot of people, running a marathon is the ultimate achievement. Obviously, I know you go in and you attack everything to do your best, but is it a total different mindset when you sort of, I'm just doing one marathon in one day?
Yeah, I mean, not taking anything away, a marathon is never easy, never going to be easy, yeah. Never will be easy, and I know the greatest thing that some people achieve, and not taking anything away from that at all, but when you do the ultramarathons, you do a marathon, you know that, yeah, you're ready for that, you've trained for it, your mindset's right, you know that that day, you're going to finish that marathon, however long it's going to take, yeah, you're going to finish that day, you can have a nice meal at the end of the marathon, a nice shower, and you'll sleep in a nice bed that night. So the difference really is that ultramarathons, you're not getting that, you know you're going to be running a marathon plus, you know, maybe a double marathon one day. You're going to be coming into camp. You're going to be eating some pretty miserable food, if you like. A high-calorie food, but not particularly tasty food. Getting into a tent, sleeping in your sweaty clothes again. Getting up in the morning. Again, nothing pretty appetizing to eat in the morning. And going again and running again on tired legs and doing that maybe for 5 or 6 days. So that's the difference, that, you know, you've got to get through those 5 or 6 days. The mindset is totally different. So, but like I said, never taking anything away from marathons. They are a massive, massive undertaking.
An ultramarathon literally is the ultimate, isn't it? Because, as you said, you sleep in a tent, you cook your own food, you sleep in your sweaty clothes. It's not like, I'm not for 1 minute making light of what you've done, but it's not run a marathon, have a nice shower, sleep in a hotel, run a marathon the next day. You know what I mean? It is, start to finish, all outdoor.
All outdoor. I mean, if we use the Amazon Jungle Ultramarathon as an example, and that was my first ultramarathon, I just wanted to up the game, if you like, see what I really was capable of, because I'm always about pushing boundaries, and having done a number of extreme marathons, a marathon at the North Pole, a marathon at Everest, a marathon through the Petra Desert, I wanted to see, you know, let's go to that next level. And, you know, I picked probably one of the toughest ones, the Amazon Jungle Ultra, but it was pretty much everything totally self-sufficient. I carried everything on my back, all my food for the 5 days. It was 6 marathons in 5 days. The water was replenished at checkpoints, anti-venom pump, everything I needed to survive in the Amazon jungle I had on my back. And on the start line, that was a really quite exciting feeling, if you like, that everything that I needed to survive was there. I was carrying it all. I wasn't sleeping in a tent, I was sleeping in a hammock. So I'd come in having run a marathon that day, absolutely wet through with sweat, but also from swimming across rivers. I had to put my hammock up, and the hammock, you know, the trees you put your hammock up in were covered with ants and the mosquitoes. I was drenched, as I say. I'd get some grueling food down me, you know, high-calorie food, but nothing, you know, hydrated food, not very appetizing. Get in my hammock and try and get 3 or 4 hours sleep with all the sounds around you from the jungle. Up in the morning, ants all across the floor, you know, get the wet clothes back on again, get some food down you, and get to that start line and go again. And as you mentioned, with ripped trainers, purple toenails that were dropping off, and, you know, I'm probably not selling it to you, but it's more than the run for me. It's more than the running. It's the adventure, the self-sufficient adventure, being in a part of the world that's totally out there, totally isolated, somewhere I wouldn't normally visit, but I'm there, you know, taking part in this event. And as I say, I'm not racing anybody. It's me against the environment. It's me pushing my boundaries to achieve what I've set out to do. And then, you know, the great thing is that I get the chance then to share that with the children that I teach, and, you know, the people are willing to listen, about, you know, showing that through that self-belief, through hard work, through determination and never giving up, when things get tough, anything in life is possible. Not for 1 minute am I suggesting we all go out and run 6 marathons through the Amazon jungle, but it's whatever that dream, that goal is in life, isn't it? It's achievable. But like I say, you've got to believe in yourself and push, and it will be hard work, and there's nothing wrong with hard work, and there'll be setbacks. There's nothing wrong with setbacks. That's when we learn. It's about not giving up when we get those setbacks. That's all important.
Absolutely, Steve. And you're also correct. You're not selling it to me as a short break destination. Having said that...
Are you sure?
Well, you know, I was about to flick a coin. But
you're always welcome. You're always welcome.
You are selling to me and the listeners, which you didn't already need to. Now, what an amazing person that you are. And the fact you do this voluntarily for charity. You've got your own career. You teach kids. And it's just absolutely amazing. Before we get on to what you've done in the last year in Uganda and in Scotland, you did mention the kids. And obviously, you have a different set of children every year, a new set of children every September, which you're obviously looking forward to this year. But you actually get them involved, don't you? How do you get them involved in the process of deciding what you're doing and things like that?
Totally. So it's always a conversation we have in September. So like you say, it's always quite a sad moment to say goodbye to a class in July, having had a great year. But, you know, we have had a great year. And then September comes and it's a fresh start. It's a new set of children, new class of children. And pretty much within that first week, the conversation will be, you know, what's your next challenge, sir? You know, what's next, sir? The title of the book. And it does generate a great discussion of, you know, where I have been, the parts of the world. We get the map out and we look at, you know, the parts of the world that I've been already. And then they come up with suggestions of a new challenge for that year. You know, what's our challenge this year? So they buy into it. They have the ownership of Sir's our teacher this year, and Sir's challenges, you know, his escapades this year are all part of our escapades. So, you know, what's our challenge this year, Sir? And they'll come up with some wild and wonderful suggestions, which is always great. Swimming across the Atlantic, running a marathon on the, you know, the seabed, and I'll take them all on board, and if they're ever possible, I'll certainly do those. Running a marathon on the moon is one that I've got my eye on. That was a suggestion a couple of years ago, which I would do if the opportunity was there.
Yeah.
But eventually, you know, we come down to what that challenge will be, and it's getting a little bit more difficult because I'm quite restricted being a school teacher. All my challenges have to be in the school holidays.
Yes.
And it's typical that the 6 week holidays are here now and there's nothing at all going on challenge wise. September comes and there's about 3 or 4 that I'd love to do, but can't do because I'm in school, but yeah. You know, they can wait. But yeah, then they get involved. Like you said, then they involve them in, there's a thing, all my planning, all my training. All the food I'm going to be taking, the equipment I take into class now at the time, and they get a chance to try the equipment on, to taste the food that I'll be taking. And they inspire and motivate me, you know, throughout the winter. Every morning they'd be like, did you go training last night, sir? So I'm accountable to them as well. They're like my cheerleaders. They're making me get out there and get the hard work done during the winter. And like I said, that question every morning, did you go out last night training, sir? Makes me get out at night, as I say. I feel responsible to ensure I do that. And so as I say, you know, these challenges hopefully do inspire the children. To dream big and to believe in themselves, but equally so the children that I teach inspire and motivate me, you know, equally as much. And it's a great partnership in that way. Like I say, when I've done the challenge, it's great to come back and share it with them, and as I say, because they certainly buy into it.
Yeah, two amazing things. Kids do keep it real, don't they? And I can just imagine what it'd be like to be in one of your classes. I mean, how could any parent ask for more?
Oh, very kind of you. I give my best to the children, like I said. They're a massive part of my life. They're very important to me, as I say. I feel very privileged to be a teacher, you know, to be part of these children's lives, and it is more than just the curriculum to me and to the kids. I want to give them a full year, you know, a year of experiences, a year of great memories at the end of it, as I say. So yeah, we get the hard work done in class, but also another dimension, which is the challenges, the fundraising, the fitness level, you know, and getting them involved in that, and it works, you know. It helps to develop their character, to raise their aspirations, to instill self-belief in them as well. And you know, the number of children who want to come and climb Everest with me in the future, want to come to the Amazon jungle with me in the future, they want to come to Uganda with me and get involved in projects in Uganda. Is, you know, these are 9, 10-year-old children, and this is what they want in the future. And as a teacher, wow, I can't ask any more than that, that these children want to be part of it. They are part of it now, but they want to be part of it, you know, physically. They want to be there with me in the future when they can. A little girl in year 2 came up to me, having, I did an assembly on some of my challenges, and she just said, Mr. Hill, when I'm a little bit older, can I come and climb Everest with you? And this is a 6-year-old girl, and you're like, of course you can. And it just, it warms the heart. It's what it's about. This is what teaching's about, as I say.
Yeah.
Inspiring these kids to get out there and achieve their own dreams in the future and get excited about the future, because it's their future, their lives. And nothing upsets me more than children with low aspirations, that they don't think there's anything for them, when there is. But again, it's instilling this self-belief, and that things are not going to come easy. You've got to work for them, but they're well worth it in the end.
Absolutely. And yes, seriously, it's just phenomenal. And I'm sure as a child, you can't help but be inspired. And it's great about, as you said, the young girl in year 2. You gave us a nice link into my next question. It's one of the things that did happen to you recently. It was your book launch, which is amazing. And you said it's called What Next, Sir, which is absolutely fitting considering the kids ask you that. Tell us about the book, how it happened, basically what you put into it effectively, and how long it took you to do.
Yeah, I mean, so the book, as I say, it's something, it's still sinking in, if I'm honest with you. It still seems quite surreal that there's a book out there that people are thoroughly enjoying reading. But on the back of doing the challenges, I often say, I started doing the challenges to raise money for charity and to inspire the children, but it led me to giving talks at local schools, award evenings, and becoming an ambassador for the Duke of Edinburgh Awards, which is something I never planned on.
No.
But it was an example of, you know, you take opportunities that lead you down the path you never intended going down, but it leads to more exciting things that you never planned on quite often. And it led to those amazing opportunities, as I said, to share my story far and wide. And after a number of talks, people, you know, would often come up to me and say, gosh, you need to write a book about, you know, you've got a really great story to tell. And it's like, yeah, whatever, me write a book, not going to happen. Wouldn't know where to start, haven't got any time. And that was pretty much my stock answer. And it was probably, you know, approached 3 or 4 times about writing a book. And as I said, it didn't happen. Lockdown came, and obviously things changed at school, and very minimal children in school. And again, I was approached again by someone saying, you know, you need to write a book, you've got a really good story to tell. And my response was pretty much the same. Haven't got time, wouldn't know where to start. And this gentleman said, well, I've written a couple of books and I'd love to help you with it. And lockdown had started, so I thought, well, I've got a bit more time on my hands as well. And I'm not going to be going out doing my challenges for the foreseeable. So I thought, why not? Nothing to lose. Let's just, you know, see where this takes us. So together, we did a lot of Zoom calls and what have you, and together we started penning a chapter at a time, a lot of editing and putting things together and adding detail in, and over maybe a 2-year period, 18-month period, wrote the book, and it was pretty much finished by August last year. But on my way up to Iceland, if you like, to run the Great Norse Run, I thought, no, it needs to be put on hold. I need to be writing a chapter about the Iceland adventure. It'd be silly not to. So pretty much by Christmas, the book was finished. Then it was a case of a lot of editing, a process that is obviously quite tedious, but needs doing. And then in June, yeah, the book was launched. And the book's called, yeah, What's Next, Sir? How One Teacher's Mission to Inspire His Pupils Taught Him So Much More in Return. And I had a book launch on the 24th of June, and it was just the most magical evening. It was a room full of love, support, family with their friends, people from the challenges I've taken part in. A gentleman flew over from Florida just to be there for the night, which was just amazing. Meant the world. And it was just something I never envisioned ever doing, sitting there signing books for people who are important and matter in my life. And it was at that moment I thought, yes, I'm happy for this book to be out there, but this book is now out there, and I've got no control over it now. And I wasn't, you're never sure, are you, how it's going to be received. And
absolutely.
Are people going to enjoy it? Are people going to be critical? And it was like, oh, wait and see. The feedback has been phenomenal. It's exceeded anything I could have imagined. From adults and children alike. 2 weeks following that, I did a book launch for the children, because it was important that they got a chance to have a, be part of it. All the class came, lots of children, past pupils came, and again, it was equally as magical. And it's just really special, as I say. It's about my early life, becoming a teacher, having not really wanted to be a teacher, and then taking on the challenges that have helped to inspire the children, and where that's led me to, and lessons I've learnt along the way, etc. It's just been brilliant. And the week after the children's book launch, in class, every child brought the book in. And in the morning, we have a bit of silent reading, and they're all sat there reading my book. And I sat there, I thought, right, stop a minute, stop everything, just take this in. Yeah. As a teacher, how many teachers get to experience sitting behind their desk, looking out at the class, and seeing every one of your children in your class reading your book and enjoying it? And it was like, just have a moment, take it in, because it doesn't happen to many teachers, this. Yeah. And then it was just one of those moments, I think, you know, I could die a happy man tomorrow. It was just the pinnacle of my career as a teacher that these children were reading the book and enjoying it. And I was asking a couple of them, saying, you know, which chapter you're up to? And the responses, again, just got me. It was, sir, I've just climbed Kilimanjaro. Sir, I'm just about to meet the Queen. Sir, I'm just going across the jungle. I've just been in Uganda. And it's like they were living it. They were reading it as though they were doing the challenge, and that's exactly what I wanted. And I thought, wow, job done, job done. So it's just out there now. It's doing really, really well. Far exceeding anything I could have imagined. And wow, you know, yeah, words fail me. It's very surreal. It's still sinking in. It's really exciting. And as I say, it's just about getting that story, that message out, wider audience. And but most importantly, like I said, that special moment was my kids reading it in class. As I say, it doesn't get any better than that.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Them reading your book must have been phenomenal.
It was. It doesn't get any better than that. I can't imagine anything surpassing that, to be honest with you, at all. It was just that moment of, wow, they're reading it, they're engaged, they're enjoying it, they're asking questions about it, but they're living it. I have just climbed Kilimanjaro, sir. Wow. And they've lived that journey. You know, I'm about to meet the Queen, sir. How'd you better that? I don't think you can.
Well, and in all due respect, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it wouldn't come across to me as the sort of book kids of that age would all be interested in.
No, that was not a worry type of thing, because the kids were so excited about the book launch, because they knew about it, they involved them in, you know, it's coming up, and they're really excited about it, and it is aimed at an adult audience. You know, it's an easy read, don't get me wrong. So the feedback from the adults, some of the parents as well, was like I said, phenomenal, and it was great. And then when the children's book launch came, and the children were getting the book, I'm thinking, they're that excited, are they going to be disappointed now, are they not going to get it? But to see them reading it and getting it, some of them reading it twice, you know, the parents saying they won't put it down. I'm going up to bed at night and they're reading and they won't turn the light off. They won't. It's next to the bed. They're coming into school with it clutched to the chest. It was like the special possession, yeah. And you know, they've got it, and like I said, there was no guarantee that was going to be the case, and it's like, yeah, wow. As I say, what's next? I don't know. Like I said, you can't keep surpassing things, can you? Sometimes you just got to say, right, there we are, yeah. Just keep doing what you're doing, isn't it? Because it is hard to put into words, but it's just been the most magical few weeks with the book launch, having the children all involved at school, yeah. The parents as well coming, but then further afield, you know, the book's now gone to New Zealand, it's South Africa, North America, all over Switzerland, you know, it's out there, yeah. And as I say, there's been nothing but positive feedback from it, which is all you can ask, as I say. It's just, yeah, magic.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Their interest in reading it just goes to show how phenomenal it is and what you've achieved. If I could just ask one little thing, because having the pleasure to speak to you on the radio is great. Having the pleasure to meet you and speak to you outside the radio for me is even greater.
Oh.
But I know you're not the sort of person who would ever lose sight of who you are, where you come from, and sometimes you personally don't quite get the achievements that you've done. Is this, as you get the book, as you get to become ambassador for the Duke of Edinburgh, as you see the kids reading your book like it's a children's book, if that makes sense, does it start to sink in really how great what you've done is?
No, like you're right in what you say. Right in the book, you look back and think, wow, there's a few challenges here, isn't it, over the years? Because you don't keep tabs on them. You just, each year you do another challenge and you keep going, and it's 13, 14 years worth of challenges, and it's until you do a talk or whatever, you go through and think, wow, there's a few good challenges there, isn't it? God, I've been blessed to be able to do these, and what privilege it's been to be to these places and survived it and be here to tell the tale, as it were. But I never see it as being something, you know, beyond that. You know, I am a teacher, first and foremost, who loves his job and loves the children. And if I can bring anything extra to their lives through these challenges, then that's all absolute bonus. And, you know, the motivation is me getting out, following my dreams, pushing my boundaries, seeing some wonderful parts of the world, but having that added dimension that I can share it with the children and hopefully inspire them. And then beyond that, it's anybody else I can get a chance to do a talk to, inspiring them. But no, I'm Steve, you know, the primary school teacher, used to play rugby. Lots of friends out there, you know, great friends and family, and, you know, who's been given some very wonderful opportunities as a result of these challenges. It was never a plan from day one to do challenges that will lead to this. It was do the challenges one at a time, and the first one was going to be just a one-off. It was never a plan to carry on doing them.
Yeah.
But it was that question, what's next, sir, that inspired and motivated me to keep pushing boundaries. I thought, yeah, there's something special here. And it wasn't, and you know, it's led to some amazing things. You know, sat at St. James's Palace being introduced at the Gold Duke of Edinburgh Awards to give a talk and present the awards, and saying that, you know, a bit of imposter syndrome, if you like, thinking, how the hell have I ended up here?
Yeah.
Pinching myself and thinking, you know, I'm a primary school teacher from Shaw, you know, what am I doing here presenting these Gold Awards? But then again, thinking, but why not? Why not me? Does it matter? And then that message that I can give to the kids back at school of, it doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter what your background is, anything is possible, but grab opportunities in life, work hard for them, follow those dreams. Don't give up when you get setbacks, and life will take you down some wonderful paths and wonderful experiences, and there will be setbacks, and that's normal. Don't avoid the setbacks. Don't think setbacks are failure. It's all part of the journey.
Yeah.
And that journey, right, it is a journey, and it's a journey that we can't always plan to the ninth, you know, it's what it'll be, but grab opportunities that come along, because that's what life's about, experiences, making memories. And so, yeah, there's nothing special about me at all. It's just I've been very blessed, as I say. Yes, I've made these things happen. It's been a choice, and it's led to some magical moments, as I say, and the most recent one being the book, as I said, but that was never ever the plan. Right. But such is life, isn't it?
And it's honestly thoroughly amazing, as I said before, fully well deserved. I'd like to touch on the two challenges you alluded to earlier, the one in Scotland and the one in Uganda. If you could just tell us a little bit about them and what you're donating the money to. I know some of it's to do with your own charity and some to do, as you mentioned, a school in Uganda. But if you could just tell us a little bit more, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, so like I said, always looking for the challenges, and these just fell in the school holidays. So the Scottish one was, as I said, up in Nordart, the Nordart Peninsula, up in the Highlands of Scotland, with the same company that runs the Amazon jungle and the Arctic Ice Ultra. And it was perfect. So yeah, went up there Easter time, up near Malaig, and across the water to Nordart. And it was great, and I got a chance to meet up with some people I'd done past challenges with. And it was a tough old course. It was a 3 days, as I say, camping, running over the mountains of Scotland, lots of ascents, beautiful scenery. But it was tough, as I say, and each night coming into camp, unappetising food in a small tent, two-man tent, seemed to be designed for one person, but they're very, very cosy. Up on tired legs in the morning, going again, it was predominantly up, but the views were spectacular. And as I say, it was a great adventure over the Easter holidays. And as I mentioned earlier then the May holiday, getting back to Uganda. And yeah, you know, doing these to inspire the children, but also to raise money for the charities. And over the years, it's been a lot of different charities. But as I have mentioned before, back in 2019, I did set up my own charity, Team Hill Charitable Trust. And I think that was always going to be the plan. Just to give more control over where that money went, having been to Uganda and seeing projects that needed supporting or could be supported and that myself and the charity would be able to support, and the difference that a small amount of money could do, could make. But also supporting people within Oldham rather than big charities. So there, the charity's been set up, and it's the success of the charity's been, again, you keep using this word, phenomenal. It's been great. All the children at school get involved, parents get involved. We have a good network of people. We have a number of events throughout the year. We have a posh dinner, we have race nights, we have afternoon teas, and it's great. And all the money raised through the events goes, as I said, to making a difference. That's our tagline, making a difference in the world. And we try and support maybe two or three projects in Uganda each year. So we've helped to build a dormitory over at the school, sent medical equipment over, oxygen concentrators, etc. And whatever's needed, really. We ask, you know, what's the question, what's the next project? And if we can help and support it, we will do. But on top of that, as I say, at home, we help at the local hospital with the children's ward, with toys, etc., and selection boxes and Easter eggs. We help young carers and support those in Oldham. Just recently, it helped to purchase a wheelchair for a little girl, little three-year-old girl who's got many, many conditions, illnesses, who needed this wheelchair. So it's an individual helping individual families. And we've done that, as I say, over the last 3 years. And it just, again, feels right. It's a charity that brings like-minded, wonderful people together, children and adults alike. We have some great events, and they all know and feel that they are making that difference. Together we're making a big difference, as I say, both in Uganda and here, more locally within Oldham. And as I said, nothing's too small, nothing's too big, and we can help. We'll help to make a difference. And as I said, that's along the side of the challenges, the teaching, but it's great. It's what life's about. We're here to make a difference in other people's lives, if possible, and a positive difference at that. And so, yeah, it's all good. So I'm out there pushing through these jungles and what have you. I know that it's helping to raise money for these good causes, and as I said, for helping others, you know, physically with the things that we can buy for them, you know, through the money we raise, but also through inspiring them. So it's all win.
Yeah, absolutely. And great causes. Nice to have that bit of control, I think, over where the money goes. We don't truly know, do we, sort of thing. So
you don't. I've fundraised for a number of years with the children at school, and it was always charities that they nominated, and it was always the big charities, which is great. And you do that, and you know, we'd raise a good amount of money, and we'd send the check off, and you get a certificate, and you never actually saw, and you knew it was doing good, of course you do, but you never actually saw the results of that. Whereas at the moment now, we've got control, and we meet the people that money is making a difference for. You know, I get the chance to see the projects in Uganda, you know, touch the bricks, you know, within the dormitory, going into the dormitory and see these 60 beds laid out, you know, with the boys and girls sleeping, and the children saying we sleep safely at night now. You know, you see physically, you know, the results of that fundraising, and it's great to be able to come back and share that with supporters, and they see the difference it's making. So it's having that, as I say, that complete control over where that money goes, and it all goes for good, you know, to make a difference. So yeah, it's great. I think it was always going to be the case that the charity was set up at some point. It was just a case of when. It was on the back of, as I say, a trip to Uganda in 2019, where a conversation at this school, Kalingala Island, saying it was a small school, only school on the island, and speaking with the head teacher saying that some of the children had been attacked on the way to school, and it's like we wanted to build a dormitory so they could sleep safely on the school grounds, and it's like, wow, children have been attacked on the way to, and it happens, unfortunately. So that was it. You know, what would that cost? Wow. And it was equivalent of £6,000. I thought, you know what, £6,000 to build a dormitory that would sleep 60 children safely on grounds and allow them to board at the school. Wow, it's a no-brainer. I think that was the turning point of, could easily raise £6,000 in a year. That could build a dormitory. That could make such a massive difference to this school and the lives of these children.
Yeah.
Let's do it. And it was a case of a conversation back home and people saying, what are you waiting for? Get it done. And here we are. So, never planned in the early days, but it's how things turn out in the end, and it's all for good, yeah.
And the gratitude on their faces just must be priceless.
It is. I mean, like I said, I got a chance to visit this school back in June time on my last visit. And you welcomed like royalty, if you like. And it's like, no, you know, and it's like, you know, Uncle Steve, they call me. And it's wonderful to see these children. I mean, heard about you, knowing you, and you can actually see the difference that fundraising's made. And you then want to just do more. What else can we do to help? How can we make this school even better? You know, what can we do? And it pretty much is. They're overwhelmed now with students, with pupils. You know, it's from nursery right through to 11-year-olds. And they need another dormitory. Wow. The dormitory's full to bursting. It's like, well, that's the next project then, isn't it? Let's build a second dormitory. So these children can sleep safely. So there's always something. And we can look at the world, can't we, and think there's that much that needs changing and needs doing. We can't make that difference. But we can make a difference, can't we? In our own way, by pulling together, we can make a big difference. And as I said, it's at that school at the moment. This family, let's do what we can.
Yeah, I mean, it's like most problems, isn't it? If you break them down, even if you can help a little bit, by breaking down the big problem, you've realised that by raising £6,000 and building a dormitory, suddenly 60 children, or up to 60 children, can sleep safely on the grounds. There's no attacks on the way to school. Nope. And, you know, £6,000, you know, it's amazing what that will do for those families.
And it has done. And like I say, yeah, okay, it's a large amount of money, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not that much, is it, to make a difference to 60 children, 60 families. The way I look at it, like I said, what we can raise, totally transparent, whatever we raise, there's no target every year. We raise what we raise, and we use that money for good to make a difference, and it's great.
Brilliant. I mean, absolutely amazing. So one thing I would like to speak to you about before we let you go and have the rest of your day to yourself is the next challenge. So what's next, sir?
What's next, sir? I love that question. Well, there's a story behind that what's next, sir. We can just push it in there and all with this. Being a Duke of Edinburgh ambassador, it obviously took me down to Buckingham Palace and St. James's Palace. And back in 2018, the first time I did it, the usual imposter syndrome, but getting up and doing it and getting some wonderful feedback from the recipients. They always give you the written feedback a few weeks after the event. And one of them had written along the lines of, a really inspiring talk, loved hearing what Steve had to say, and loved hearing about the adventures and the journey he gets to share them with. I'd be very disappointed in the future not to be reading a book named What's Next, Sir?
Ah.
And I thought, wow, this is 4 years ago. Wow, what a great title that would be. I'm never going to write a book. If I did, that would be my title. And that was 4 years ago.
And you
4 years down the line, there's a book with that title. And I managed, before the book launch, to track the girl down who'd given that feedback, and she came to the book launch with her mum, which was pretty special.
Oh,
she's now a doctor, and she was there, and I relayed that story, and thanks, if you like, for inspiring the book title, and it was pretty special having her there. It's a great question, what's next, sir? I do get asked it regularly. There's nothing this summer that's jumped out at me. I've got my eye on for next year, Costa Rica. It's coast to coast of Costa Rica, so that will be hopefully happening next year. So.
Oh.
East to west of Costa Rica. Coast to coast of Svalbard is another one I've come across, but that's again next year. So I'm looking for something this year, ideally so. I think promoting the book is going to be, you know, not a challenge, maybe like, but, you know, something that's going to keep you busy in itself over the next few weeks. But yeah, as I said, there's lots out there, but Costa Rica is a definite one that I'm looking at for next year. So there's always going to be challenges, as I say, it just happens to be when they're going to be, because they've got to be within school holidays. So, yeah, just watch this space. As it says in the book, what's next, sir? Just wait and see.
Fantastic. I mean, I can't say more. You know how I feel about what you do and everything you portray and the things you do for kids and for charity. And, you know, you inspire people just by talking, if that makes sense, without your achievements. But the fact you get all the kids involved is truly amazing. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I just want to say, from me being on the radio, it is inspirational. It fits in with what we do. And just thank you so much for your time today. I just want to basically finish off by saying, what about you personally, Steve? You know, you do all this for charity. What's your training like? Do you have to constantly be training all the time? And your family must be so proud of what you're doing.
You do hope so. I mean, it's not something they say on a daily basis, but I think they are, yes. I think they are. They're proud of me, and, you know, that means the world to me. Of course it does. I mean, my mum passed away 10 years ago, and I would have loved my mum to be part of this journey, you know, from things maybe I have achieved. She's watching down on me, of course she is, but, you know, my brother, my nieces, you know, my dad, and except, so you do hold the proud, of course he has, I'm proud of them too. Training wise, yeah, I generally train all year, but I up the training, you know, when I'm getting towards a challenge, so when I book an adventure, a challenge, then my training then ramps up accordingly. But yeah, generally keeping fit, you know, I train through the winter, and I always say that's when the hard work's done. It's when no one's watching, if you like, it's those dark nights, those rainy nights, getting the hard work and the hard miles in when you've done, you know, full day at work. You know, that's a bit that people don't see. The people see you standing on top of a mountain or with your finisher's medal at the end of the Amazon Jungle Ultra, which is great, but a lot of hard work goes in before then. And as I say, that's the hard work that people don't see. And that's like anything, isn't it? It's what goes on behind the scenes, as I say, those hard miles throughout the winter. But yeah, you know, I'm living my best life. I'm blessed. And you know, it's having that focus, that purpose, and having so many wonderful people within my life that hopefully are on this journey with me, if you like it, and buy into it totally. So, as I say, I don't get a lot of time to myself, but that's my choice. It is the choice I've made, and I'm blessed to have made that choice. It's, as I say, living my best life, and I feel very privileged and honoured to be able to, as I said, do what I do and share that with other people. And thank you for your wonderful feedback there. You're very kind, John. As I say, it's hard to hear and listen to that sometimes when people are saying lovely things about you, but it's very kind of you, and it means the world, and thank you very much.
No problem. Absolutely amazing. As always, the feedback I know will be brilliant, and we definitely won't leave it a year this time. We'll try and get another one in before the end of the year. Hopefully you've done your next challenge that you're looking for at the moment. And just want to say, everybody, Steve Hill, MBE, the legend. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, John. Very kind, mate. Great speaking to you. Speak to you again soon.
Cheers.
Take care.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
We finish off this week's show with our SLB Sports Roundup featuring golf, horse racing, darts, motorsport, NBA and football. We start with golf, and it was a US Masters from the Augusta National, hosted by both tours, the PGA and the DP World Tour. And it was won by Spanish and now world number one Jon Rahm, who produced immaculate golf over 4 days. The first day and a half was beautiful weather. The second half of the last day and day three were either wiped out or windswept and raining. And then the fourth day started off bad, but finished in glorious sunshine. And Jon Rahm probably played in all of the worst conditions. He won on 12 under, despite carding a double bogey on the first hole, the first winner since Sam Snead in 1959 to do that feat. What a comeback from Jon Rahm, what a player he is, and a fully deserved winner. He controlled the back nine of the final day and won by 4 shots from 2 LIV golfers, Phil Mickelson, who carded the lowest score by a man over 50, and Brooks Koepka, back to the form after knee injuries, and looked like he was going to win until a horrible final round. This week, the PGA Tour hosts the RBC Heritage from the Harbour Town Golf Links in South Carolina. Yet the DP World Tour is not back till the 20th in Japan. The LPGA is back this week with a Lotto Championship from the Holaiki Country Club in Hawaii. Horse racing, and it's the Aintree Festival this week, with obviously the major race being the Grand National. Some horses to look out for in the build-up to the big day. In the Manifesto Novice Chase, we're looking at Jambon. The Aintree Bowl, we like Brave Men's Game. Conflated if he runs, but we're not sure. The Aintree Hurdle should be a breeze for Constitution Hill. And the Topham, we've already said this, we like Geskill, Hoot on Collage, and Ashdown Lad. The Sefton Novice Hurdle, we like in Stay Away Faye, who done us a favour at a big price at the Cheltenham Festival. And the Liverpool Hurdle, we're going to take a punt with Champ or Home by the Lee. The Grand National, we've already given you Correct Rambler, Noble Yates, Delta Work, and either Gaillard de Mainil or Mr. Incredible. They both may run, they both may not. Throw in any second now, who's been placed in the last couple of years. You'll get plenty of places at bookmakers if you like a bet, but have a small flutter and always bet responsibly. Darts and Premier League Week 10 was at Birmingham, and it was 1-2 on the bounce by Johnny Clayton, totally back to form. He beat the rejuvenated Peter Wright 6-5 in the final. Johnny claims 5 points, Peter Wright 3 points. The two beaten semi-finalists, Gerwin Price and Michael Van Gerwen, both get 2 points each. The table, after the 10 weeks, sees Michael Van Gerwen out in front on 27 points, holding that 5-point lead over Gerwin Price, who's on 22. Johnny Clayton moves into the top three with his second win in 2 weeks. He's on 17, Michael Smith in fourth on 15. Week 11 is at Birmingham, and we can't tell the winner, although you wouldn't go far wrong with Gerwin Price, Michael Van Gerwen or Michael Smith. Motorsport, MotoGP is back on the 30th of April with the Spanish Grand Prix from Jerez. World Superbikes are back on the 21st with the Dutch round from Assen. But British Superbikes hosted their first round of the season with their 3 races from Silverstone. The sprint race was won by Carl Reid on the OMG Racing Yamaha. Tommy Bridewell was second on the Beer Monster Ducati. Josh Brooks was third on the FHO Racing BMW. Josh Brooks getting used to that new bike. 1 race 2. Tommy Bridewell was second, and his teammate on the Beer Monster Ducati, Glenn Irwin, was third. Race 3 was won by Glenn Irwin. Second place, Josh Brooks. Third place, Tommy Bridewell. The standings after the first round and 3 races. Josh Brooks leads the way. FHO Racing BMW, 48 points. 2 points clear of Tommy Bridewell, Beer Monster Ducati, on 46. 3 points clear of his teammate Glenn Irwin, on 43. They're back in 2 weeks' time with round 2. Speedway, they start their Grand Prix on the 29th of April in Croatia. On to four wheels and NASCAR. Their recent race was won by Christopher Bell, the Toyota Camry and Joe Gibbs Racing. Tyler Reddick was second, also Toyota Camry, but for 23XI Racing. Austin Dillon was third, driving a Chevy Camaro for Richard Childress. Christopher Bell leads the standings on 281 points. Second place, Ross Chastain, Chevy Camaro for Trackhouse Racing on 265. Further 10 back to Kevin Harwick, Ford Mustang for Team Penske, 255. This weekend, they go to Martinsville Speedway for the NOCO Fire 400. IndyCar, they're back this week with the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach using the Long Beach Convention Centre. Formula E, back on the 22nd of April for the German EP from Berlin. And Formula One have a break till the 28th of April. They're back in Baku for the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. NBA, it's the play-ins and the playoffs. As we've said, the top 10 go through to the final stages of the season. The top 6 go into the playoffs. 7 through 10 have play-ins, where 7 plays 8. The winner goes through to 7th place. 9 plays 10. And the winner of that game plays the loser of 7 plays 8. So here we go with the play-ins. The Heat play the Hawks and the Raptors play the Bulls. The winner of the Heat and the Hawks goes through to the playoffs. The loser takes on the winner of the Raptors versus the Bulls. And in the West, the Lakers play the Timberwolves. The Pelicans play the Thunder. The winner of the Lakers versus the Timberwolves goes through to the playoffs. The loser gets another shot against the winner between the Pelicans and the Thunder. The playoffs then start this coming weekend. 76ers versus the Nets. Cavaliers versus the Knicks. The Celtics will play the winners of the Heat versus the Hawks. And the Bucks, who topped the East Conference and earned the right to play the 8th best team, will play the winner of the loser between the Heat versus Hawks and the winner of the Raptors versus the Bulls. In the West, the Kings play the Golden State Warriors. The Suns play the Clippers. The Grizzlies play either the Lakers or the Timberwolves. And the Nuggets have earned the right to play the 8th best team, the same as the Bucks in the East. They will play the winner of the losing team between the Lakers and the Thunder, and the winning team between the Pelicans and the Timberwolves. Football. We finish off with this. Catch-up fixture results. Chelsea 0, Liverpool 0, West Ham 1, Newcastle 5, Manchester United 1, Brentford 0. Week 30 results. Manchester United 2, Everton 0, Aston Villa 2, Nottingham Forest 0, Brentford 1, Newcastle 2, Fulham 0, West Ham 1, Wolves 1, Chelsea 0, Tottenham 2, Brighton 1, Leicester 0, Bournemouth 1, Southampton 1, Manchester City 4, Leeds 1, Crystal Palace 5, Liverpool 2, Arsenal 2. That leaves the top 4 with Arsenal now 5 points clear of Manchester City, who have a game in hand. If they win that, they make it 2 points, and Arsenal still need to go to the Etihad to play a game, which effectively means if you expect Manchester City to win all their games, they will win the league. But the title is effectively in their hands for the first time for a long time. We said we thought Arsenal might blow it, but even if they don't win, I think saying they've blown it is quite harsh. They've played outstanding football, were caught up in a bit of a brawl yesterday at Liverpool after being 2-0 up and cruising. I think Manchester City will win the league because I think they'll win every game they've got left. They've really hit the ground running. Jack Grealish is coming into his own. Kevin De Bruyne is at his brilliant best. And Erling Haaland, well, what can you say about the man who's got 43 goals this season in a Manchester City shirt? Weekday 31's fixtures. Aston Villa versus Newcastle. Southampton versus Crystal Palace. Everton versus Fulham. Tottenham versus Bournemouth. Manchester City versus Leicester. West Ham versus Arsenal. Nottingham Forest versus Manchester United. And Leeds versus Liverpool. We have some European action during the week in the Champions League. The two English sides left in are Chelsea and Manchester City, and they've got the two toughest ties. Chelsea are at home in the first leg of two against Real Madrid, and Manchester City are home in the first leg of two against Bayern Munich. And it doesn't get any easier for English teams in the Europa League. The only team standing is Manchester United, and they are at home in the first leg of two against Sevilla. That's our SLB Sports Roundup. Well, everyone, thank you for listening to another great show. The superstar that is Steve Hill MBE was our guest today. We hope you enjoyed him recalling about all that he does. He is such a champion. He is such an iconic, inspirational man. Thank you to Steve. Thank you to you, the listeners. And thank you to Johan, Raffaella and the team at UK Health Radio for this amazing platform that we're constantly given. We'll see you all next week.
Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.